You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Wednesday, April the 24th. I got two great guys with me. Mark Narducci is back in the building. What's up, Mark?
How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing well. And then Mr. Michael Lee is making a cameo. Mr. Michael Lee has been like incognito. He act like he didn't want to be on the podcast. You know what I mean? Mark?
Playoff start, you know, the fee goes up.
Oh, yeah, the fee goes up. All right, two pennies a day. Let me stop. But look, y'all. So look, as you guys know by now, the 76ers defeated the Brooklyn Nets. Man, they crushed them. They crushed them last night. It was 122-100. The game was more lopsided than the score was. They won the series in five games. So in the first segment, we're going to talk about what did the series show you? What did the series show us? The second segment, we're going to be looking around to the second round matchup against the Toronto Raptors. And then in the third series, we're going to talk about what's at stake for the franchise in this second round series. I mean, we could talk about that for days, and we all know what it is, but we're going to break it down. But, Mike, what did the series show you? What did the first round, what did this opening round series to the Brooklyn Nets show you?
Well, for a team that has little experience with each other, little chemistry, little camaraderie, I thought that to have to come together under the crucible of the playoffs, they passed the test. You know, they got knocked in the mouth game one, and they could have, started to fracture at that moment, but they came together. They destroyed them in game two. They didn't have Joel in game three. They kind of had to step up and rally around that. Ben Simmons, showed a lot of maturity and growth. And then, the ejection, with Jimmy Butler coming to Joel's defense, you can see these guys are starting to develop something. So I think that over the course of the series, it was just five games, but I think the guys kind of developed trust in each other. They sort of figured out what they needed to do defensively, and I think that it was good that they faced some early adversity, because that kind of stuff helps your character, going forward. And I think these guys have a little more trust in who they're playing with and a little more confidence about what kind of team they are and what they can possibly do.
And what about you? What about you, Mark? What did you get? This Mark and Mike is getting to me. But anyway.
I thought, Keith, that they showed both mental and physical toughness that maybe we didn't know that they had. Physicality, they were much more physical in this series. They saw they had the advantage. Tobias Harris said to me, we realized after that game one loss, we were bigger than these guys, so we decided to do, to go down low, to go in the blocks, and they were tougher, and they were mentally tough. You remember in game four, they're down by seven in Brooklyn with under 6 minutes to go, and they come back. So they didn't wilt. So they showed me a lot in this series, because, we'll talk about Toronto later on. I think they had a much tougher time, a much tougher team in the Nets than Toronto did in Orlando.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of like, looking in, going into this series, I get what Mike, what Mark, I keep saying these M's, man. I get what Mark said. I thought Brooklyn was a tougher team. But then when you look at it and you see the Sixers are the third seed playing the sixth seed, and you see that they don't have anyone that can defend or compete with Embiid. Ed Davis was banged up. You look at Jared Dudley. He's a guy who was basically had to play the role of the goon. You know what I mean? So to me, it's kind of like it's still a wait and see. Because I'm looking at the Sixers and I'm looking at them on any given night, they had the four best players on the floor.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So
sometimes five.
Sometimes five. Yeah, sometimes five. And then Caris LeVert is good. But it was you're looking at this team and, they have the Eastern Conference best starting lineup, you know,
for a reason.
For a reason. So I really did, I mean, I learned that, hey, the Sixers, when the Sixers look good, they look good. And they've been that way all season.
Yeah.
But then we also know when the Sixers look bad, they look bad. You know, so I'm
game
looking
one,
at
they look bad.
In game one, they look bad. So my thing is like, I'm still like a wait and see. And I hate, I mean, don't get me wrong. Everything y'all said is true. It's true. They played together. But I just want to see them against
real competition.
Real competition. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you look at all these series, let's keep it real. They all went, they were swept or they went in five games.
Yeah.
So it was the haves and the have-nots. That's what I got for
well, one thing, they did win a game with Greg Monroe as their starting center. I mean,
yeah, but you know,
you
we
can't
talking,
discount that.
Yeah,
geez.
But you know,
but they
what?
Still had the three best players.
Yeah, they still had the three. I mean, like if you what that showed me was, I mean, let's face it, they also went to OKC without Embiid and won too. So what that showed me is that, you know, Embiid is a great player. He's a difference maker. But you got these four dudes, and all you need is somebody that's going to rebound and defend and hustle, and they can still be competitive. And Greg Monroe, you know, Greg Monroe, he's the type of guy to me who he gambled on himself when he was with Detroit, you know what I mean? And he just lost that gamble, right? But before he gambled, Greg Monroe was the guy. You know what I mean? He was an elite player, you know?
I will say this. You know, you can mention that this wasn't the best opponent to see what the Sixers are made of, but it was the only opponent that they were going to get to face in this round, right?
True.
So considering what the objective was, I think that after losing game one, they handled their business. I mean, they put 145 on the board in game two.
Yeah.
They didn't have Joel and closed them out. You know, Ben Simmons had the best playoff game of his career. You know, a 31-point game, which is not a typical Ben Simmons-type scoring effort. You know, he doesn't really score like that. And then, you know, Joel, if you look at what he did in the fourth quarter of that game four in Brooklyn, I mean, with no Jimmy there, they had to go to Joel. And one of the reasons why they got Jimmy is because they didn't have a closer. But Joel closed. You know, he was the one that was just putting them on their back. And I think for him to have that kind of playoff moment, you know, gives him the confidence about maybe what he can do the next round, because he didn't have that kind of game against Miami last year. He didn't have that kind of performance where you just roll him and just said, take us home. And then to close out, you know, in game five the way they did, to jump on them right away, 14-0, 23-2, to kind of just snatch their heart. You know, I think that's all you can really ask them to do at this point, because we all knew going in that there were like four really elite teams in the East, a five good one. Indiana didn't have Oladipo, but 6-8, they were going to get washed all over the court. And I think the Sixers did what they were supposed to do, and that's really all you can ask of them at this stage.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, they did what they were supposed to do, but I thought Brooklyn looked good in the first game. They looked good. And then, you know, Ed Davis goes out.
Joe Harris couldn't hit a shot.
Joe Harris couldn't hit a shot. So, you know, to me, it got to a point where, don't get me wrong, they did exactly what you said. But it's like, to me, they look good. I mean, they look like the team that we expected them to look like. I mean, it just got to a point where later on they start underachieving. But if the Sixers would have, this game would have went to six games, or if this game would have went to seven games, you know what I mean? Then people will be questioning, yo, is Brett Brown the coach of this? I mean, is he the coach for this team? Because the Sixers,
those questions still exist.
I mean, they still exist, but they would have started sooner because of the talent that they have. So, I get what you're saying.
I don't think Brett got enough credit for making the adjustments that needed to be made for them to dominate the way they did.
True.
At the end of the series.
True. But look, let's get down to the second segment. So, you know, looking ahead to the second round, I mean, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to, Mark, or some of the things you think is going to stand out?
Well, how about the Ben Simmons Kawhi Leonard matchup? I mean, Kawhi Leonard had the much better in the three meetings this year, Keith, and I think Kawhi Leonard is one of the top five players in the NBA, and that might be low. It might be top three because he's a great two-way player, and his effort on defense, you could put him on anybody. They could put him on Embiid, and I bet he'd hold his own. That's how good I think he is. But I think Leonard, Simmons, it's going to come down to that.
I got two stats for you by Kawhi Leonard that any Sixers fan should be concerned with.
Undefeated.
He has never lost. That's my LeVar Ball. Undefeated, never lost. That's 13-0. In his career against the 76ers, which is an incredible statistic.
But 10 of them, Mike, were with San Antonio.
Of course. So, but three of them were with Toronto this year, says a lot. Right. And the other stat that stands out to me, and it goes back to what you said about Ben Simmons, the three wins that the Raptors got this year all came with Kawhi on the floor. The one loss was when he and Kyle didn't play. In that game without Kawhi, Ben Simmons had one turnover. In the three games that Kawhi played, he had 24 turnovers, 24. Including 11 in the first game.
Yeah.
So he inhales Ben Simmons when they go head-to-head. So that stands out to me. The other thing that stands out to me about this series going is the matchup for Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned that Jared Allen just didn't have the mass to keep up with Joel Embiid. They have Marc Gasol. And when they made that trade for Gasol at the deadline – I immediately thought, oh, that's the guy they're gonna get to guard Embiid, because there's not a big man. There's a few big men that give him fits. Al Horford is one, and he didn't play him as much, but Marc Gasol is right there with him. If you look at the two games they played against Memphis this year, the first game that was right after Jimmy Butler trade, Joel Embiid went 4-for-15 against Memphis, and they lost. Right? They won. But he went 4-for-15. Then the next game went 4-for-13. So that's 8-for-28 in games against Memphis this year, because Marc Gasol is just he's a former defensive player of the year. So that's their two best players. The Sixers' two best players are Simmons and Embiid. The Raptors have an answer for them. So it's going to be on these new guys, Tobias and on Jimmy, to really step up and give them something, because the Raptors know what they can do to those two guys.
The other thing, Mike, is Gasol is not always a low post guy.
He can step out. Yeah.
He can step out, and Embiid's going to have to go out and get him. That's going to open some things up, too. So that's going to be a real interesting way how the Sixers counter that.
Yeah, because the main thing they did defensively against the Nets, and Joel said it, was everybody just send him to me. I'll take care of it.
Yep.
They're not going to be able to just send him to him, because – Gasol's going to be stepping out. Serge Ibaka, when he's in, he's going to step out. If he winds up guarding Pascal Siakam or whoever is going to be at the five position, he's going to have to step out on the defensive end, and that's going to open up the lane. So Kyle Lowry might be able to get in there. Kawhi, you know, is going to take it hard to the rack. And then if the defense collapses inside, kick it out to Danny Green. So it's going to be a really interesting series to see, you know, how they're going to defend the Raptors, because, like you said, it's a significant upgrade to go from the Nets to the Raptors, who was a number two seed, but you know could have probably been a number one seed if Kawhi played, you know, a whole season.
But it's also a significant upgrade to go from the Magic to the Sixers.
That's true.
So.
Yeah, but you know, we're talking about the Magic. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but they're both. I mean, I think that's push when you go there with both teams. You know what I mean? Like, I get what you're saying. Now, the one thing that the advantage that the Sixers have early on is that, you know, Toronto. Yes, of course, they probably have game film of them. They probably sent scouts out here to cover the game. But when you go up against it the first time, you know, you're going to like, wow, this is my first time seeing this stuff in live action. You know what I mean? Because when you know what they can do with Jimmy, you know what they can do with JJ, but then Tobias becomes the X factor. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do with Tobias? You know what I mean?
And throw Siakam on him.
You could throw. I mean, I think that's what's going to happen. But at the same time, it's one of those things where it's still the unknown until you get out there. Yeah. Now again, Siakam is a tough matchup. Now my concern, if I'm the Sixers, is that, you know, what's up with Mike Scott? You know, Mike Scott played 12 minutes, 49 seconds a day. He goes out in the second quarter with a heel contusion. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's not normally they say day to day that he's going to be reevaluated this morning. So come on, man.
And that's the other thing too, is that Mike Scott hurt, but I wonder if there'll be any more for Jonah Bolden. Because he would be the guy to fill in for that spot. But he touched an official. I mean, he got ejected. But if they go back and review the film and they decide to just say, hey, you can't touch an official, he shoved an official out of the way to go after a guy. There could be more coming from that, too. So a team that already is a little thin when it comes to depth, going in Toronto shorthanded with two of their stretch bigs, who could, make the Raptors work on the other side, that's going to be tough. And if I'm not mistaken, the Sixers have not won in Toronto since 2012.
Yeah, it was November 10th, 2012. They won 93-83. So the Sixers have lost 13 consecutive games to the Raptors in Toronto. Now, that's 2012. So
it's
we
different
know
teams, the process.
Different teams, the process. But, this year, there were times where they went out there and they thought they would win. Here's something else. The Sixers lost 21 of their last 24 games against Toronto overall. And they won 3 out of 4.
I don't think any of that matters, Keith.
They won. I do, because it becomes a mental thing.
How many games were Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris in those games?
Jimmy only beat him one time. He lost 2 to him.
Brett Brown said he's going to disregard all of that because he said that he knows the numbers don't look good for them, so he's going to disregard it. And that's really all he can do.
The reason why I say that is, right now, it means a little bit, and I get it, but the reason why I say it means a little bit, who's the leaders of this team? I mean, who are the leaders of the team?
Sixers?
Yeah.
Well, Embiid and Simmons.
And they took some L's. So it gets to a point where they could get frustrated. That's what I'm thinking. Embiid and Simmons. Now, the thing about Ben Simmons, see, here's a question that's going to happen with Ben Simmons. They're going to go there. So last year, Ben Simmons struggled against Marcus Morris. Now he has to go up against Kawhi, a two-time defensive player, right? Ben Simmons, unless you just want to say, all right, and I don't think Brett Brown's going to do this the first game early, saying, all right, Ben, you're going to go on the block, you're going to stay on the block, and Jimmy, you're just going to run the offense. But if he does that, then that might be their best way, to get the ball out of Ben's hand with Kawhi. Other than that, if you're running the offense and Ben has the control of the ball most of the time and you got Kawhi on him, and, it could get a little frustrating because for everyone. Because next thing he could turn the ball over. I'm not wishing bad luck on him. I'm just saying stuff goes wrong. But he could turn the ball over.
Understand.
And then next thing JJ's not getting the ball where he wants it. Tobias is getting zoned out. And then Embiid's on the block like, yo, what about me? What about me? So, I get what we're saying, but as long when you got Kawhi and you got Ben and you got what's it called? The first line of defense, and you have Embiid, and then you have the coach, I get what you're saying, but to me it means something. It's a mental thing. It's a mental thing from a middle standpoint. That's just my opinion. That's just mine. Now let's get on to the third segment. So, what's at stake for the franchise, y'all?
I think Josh Harris sort of made it known. He's made it known repeatedly since they made the trade for Tobias Harris that they have to get past the second round. Like, and I think that's a message to the coach that he needs to get them past the second round. I think it's a message to the guy, the pending free agents, who, you know, have huge contracts at stake if they win or lose. So I think that's obviously the glaring thing that stands out. And one thing that is interesting about this series is, you know, the Raptors came in at Philly and smashed them. Was that February 5th, right? They came in here, smashed them, and fans were booing. And then fans were heckling Elton, like, please, make a trade. Yeah. Get something done. And, like, Elton looked up and was like, I got you.
Yeah.
And that night, he's like, hey, let's get that Tobias Harris deal done. So the Raptors inspired this squad that the Sixers currently are. And so they made that move with this in mind, that they, if they want to be considered one of the true elite teams in the Eastern Conference, if they really want to be in that class with Milwaukee, and it really came out of nowhere, and Toronto and Boston, that they had to elevate their talent, and they went after and got Tobias. So they knew it was at stake. They made this move, and now got to see if it was worth it.
See, I think what the winning the second round does is also it helps guys like Butler and Tobias say, okay, this is a winning team. You know, I'd like to re-sign with them. If they flame out in the second round, I'm not saying they won't re-sign with them, but I'm saying their chances aren't as good because they'll look at this and say, wow, this team got fractured. It couldn't get by the second round. What's the future here? So I think not only Brett Brown is coaching for his job, I think that they're playing to try to keep these free agents who they gave up quite a bit to get.
Yeah, and if you feel like if they don't do well, you know, it's like, well, why would I want to be the third option on a team that's exactly just a second-round squad? I can go here, maybe I can be the second option, or I can go here and be the first option and get all the money and get all the glory and have it be on me as opposed to being a part of something good. But I think you're right. If they – this is sort of – a pitch, I think, you know, for the Sixers. Like, I think they basically told Jimmy and Tobias this round, like, you sure you want to leave us for Brooklyn? Like, we got something good going here. And then if you want to, you know, talk about the next round, if you go to the conference finals, then you can sort of say, you know what, we're moving on the right track. We're headed somewhere. But, like, Tobias, you know, he never made it out of the first round. He just, for the first time in his career, he got out of the first round. Jimmy's in the second round for, I think, the third time in his career. He's never gotten past second round himself. So this is big for these guys. So I think everybody that's on this squad really wants to go somewhere and go further. And so the Raptors are a huge obstacle. And so it's really going to be a test for see what the organization is all about now, too, going forward. Because if they do go out in the second round, they'll make the right moves for these guys. And if he didn't, how do you solve that problem this summer?
Yeah, y'all raised some great points. And especially, you know, if they get to the third round Eastern Conference, like you said, I could see Jimmy like, yeah, I'm digging this. You know what I mean? Tobias like, whoa, you know what? I might not be the first or second option, but, yo, this is cool. I'm getting open shots and we're winning. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it does have a lot to do with it.
I don't think either of them are first options on a really good team, and I'm not sure they're second options on a really good team. Mm-hmm. And they have to be a little realistic, and that doesn't mean they're not great players. I'm just saying that if they're the second option, either of them, I'm not sure that team's going to the conference final.
Well, I mean, you saw last year Jimmy was the man in Minnesota. They went out in the first round.
That's right.
Tobias was kind of the man in the Clippers this year. They made it to the playoffs without him.
What about when he was in Detroit?
I would say Drummond was the guy.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson, and those guys. Huh?
Where do you think he was in that?
I think the fact that never was determined is one of the reasons why they went out as quickly as they did. They never really had – he never really separated himself. You know, he didn't do that in Orlando. He didn't do that in Detroit. In L.A., he really started to assert himself as being one of the top players. And he's coming to his own. I mean, he's 26. But you're right. He's learning here that, you know, some nights he's not going to get 15 shots. Some nights he might just get 9, you know. And I think that that's going to be something he's got to adjust to if he decides he wants to spend his career here.
Well, if he likes W's, that'll do it.
Yeah, wins will make up for not getting shots.
So, dude, you work for the Sixers.
Oh, stop. I mean,
he just like recruiting the boy.
I'm just saying.
He's telling it like it is.
I know.
They have a lot riding on this round. I don't think there's any question about it. And I think even more important than Brett Brown's job is being able to keep Butler and Harris.
Yeah, because you gave up Landry Shamet, who's, I think, really played well in the playoffs this year. I mean, I mean, you got to give up good players to get good players.
Yeah.
But then they gave up the Miami pick. So they gave up two really solid pieces to the Clippers.
An unprotected pick.
Yeah.
This is just a defining moment for the Sixers right now.
I would
this
say so.
This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, as much as everybody. And that's why, and you know, I didn't mean to make it seem like I was being negative in the first segment. But let's keep it real. This is where it all counts. This is all people been talking about. Like Elton Brand said, hey, we expect to get to the Eastern Conference
Finals. The window is now.
The window is now. And the first round would have been just a disaster. And if they're saying that this is a team that's supposed to go to the Eastern Conference Championship, like at least get there, because they want to go to the finals. It's one of those things where you're supposed to beat Brooklyn. So right now is the defining moment.
Well, not only that, though, Toronto has the same thing riding because if Toronto goes out in the second round, I mean, Kawhi may not stay there anyway.
Yes.
I mean,
that's the thing.
With his affinity for the West Coast and everything like that. But if Toronto makes a deep run, maybe that makes an impression on Kawhi. And if they lose Kawhi, that sets them back seriously.
It does. I think that was a gamble that they knew going in because they had sort of reached a certain plateau with that squad with DeMar, so they knew that they had to do something dramatic. Going for Kawhi seemed like a great move to prove that, you know, you can maybe make that leap. And if you don't, you hit the reboot, but at least you gambled on Kawhi, you know, like you gambled on one of the top players in the NBA. So I think that you're right, they both have a lot at stake, but I think the Sixers have more at stake just because so much has been invested in this year, and then, like, you know, going forward, you know, what's your team going to look like? I think Toronto kind of, once they made a trade for Kawhi, they kind of envisioned, like, this is a gamble. Like, we may actually come up snake eyes if it doesn't work out. Primarily because Kawhi is a guy who already left a championship organization. So, clearly, whatever's motivating him is different than what motivates a lot of other guys. So, they already knew the risk. With this, it's a little different because it's not just one guy, it's two guys, and I don't know, it's, and it's a coach situation on the line as well.
It's different just because, I mean, let's face it, they gave up a lot. Like Kawhi, they gave up a guy who they didn't want, who they overpaid. They felt like they overpaid. They felt like it. And he didn't get along with the coach, a former coach. They fired a coach, too, but well. But anyway, I think the Sixers, they just gave up two starters and gave up a bunch of assets. You know what I mean? And Kawhi is a superstar, like a megastar. These guys are, you know, all-stars type of guys. It was a difference. But look, y'all, I want to thank y'all for joining today. I guess we all going to cover the next round. It's going to be great ones. And I want to thank y'all for listening and have a great day.